Usually we're in the book of Acts, but I thought I'd take a break from Acts, and we're going to look at Luke instead. So if you turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 9, it's the same author, but a little bit different focus. And if you need a Bible, go ahead and raise your hand. We got plenty of Bibles for you. I tend to teach verse by verse and walk through it, so if you need a Bible, please raise your hand and we'll get you one. And then we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to go old school. If you guys would please stand with me in honor of God's Word. We're going to read this verse together. We don't often do that, but I'd like to do it since it's a short passage and feel inclined that way. So Luke chapter 9 and verses 57 through 62. Luke 9, 57 through 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my Father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." You just pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that you would help us to receive it today. Lord, we ask that you would work in our hearts and our mind in such a way that we would leave this building today and go forth and do it. And we ask this all in your name. Amen. Thank you. Would you please be seated? How many of you guys are on Facebook? Most of us are on Facebook. And have you seen that one of those photos that had gone around a while back? It was a guy sitting next to Jesus on a bench. And the guy's saying, "Hey, I follow you, Jesus." And he's on Twitter. He's following Jesus on Twitter. But Jesus' response was, "That's not what I meant when I said follow me." Do you guys seen that one? Today we're talking about the issue of lordship, of following our Lord wherever he might call us to go, following our Lord in whatever he might command us to do. At the Way Fellowship Church, our purpose statement is to love, to follow, and to share Jesus so that others might come to love, follow, and share Jesus. I believe our walk starts with this love that springs from the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin, revealing to us our need for a Savior, a loving Savior, and us acknowledging His infinite love and mercy, opening up our arms in receiving that love and grace. And then our hearts are inclined towards Him, and we want to do then next, we want to do what He's called us to do. And that's that issue of fellowship that we're dealing with today. I'm going to give you the central theme up front. Today we're talking about following. Following Jesus means what? Following Jesus means abandoning everything. Abandoning everything for the sake of the kingdom. And we'll talk a little bit about the kingdom later. But as we begin, what does it mean to abandon everything? Jesus talks about three things today that we're going to look at in terms of what we need to abandon, what he's called us to abandon. So verse 57, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." I'm going to sit on this first part, as they were going. That is a continuous verb. They've been going for a while. They've been traveling for a while. And they're traveling on what? On a road. Okay, this word can be translated way and path, the Way Fellowship Church. Jesus is what? The way. Jesus is the way to what? Salvation. And Jesus is the way to salvation because he was on a road his entire life. To what point? Jesus was on a road. This is a question for the class. Jesus was on a road to where? What was his end destination? The cross. As they were going, he's been going for a while, doing his ministry, 3 years on the road. But now there's a turning point in this story in Luke. He's just told the disciples in a couple verses earlier that he's headed to Jerusalem and he's going to be handed over, delivered over, and he's going to be killed. He's on his way to this point of salvation to die for each of us. And honestly, as just kind of a preface to this whole message, following Jesus means abandoning everything. We are called to abandon everything because we follow one who abandoned everything. He gave up everything so that we might have everything. In Luke 9:44, he told his disciples this: "Let those words sink in your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men." For Jesus, it was the destination of the cross. For us, Matthew 16:24, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus went to the cross to die. Jesus has commanded each of us to go to the cross and die to ourselves. This is what it means to follow Jesus. Now, as we get into the context of the story, he says, someone said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.'" This someone is a scribe in another parallel account, Matthew 18:19. He's referred to as a scribe. A scribe was a brainiac. A scribe had the geeky glasses on. A scribe had the cup of coffee and the book in front of him and a bookshelf full of books. This is an academic who goes up to Jesus and he says, I was included in that, and I'm not just joking about you, Thomas, okay? The scribe comes up to him, and he's this academic, and he says, "I will follow you wherever you go." Now, I'm not sure what this academic was thinking, but maybe he was enticed by the idea of exotic lands that he was going to go to, fine cuisines that he was going to taste. He was going to go on his tourist expedition, take pictures. The novelty of following Jesus wherever he might go. There was an expectation that following Jesus would be pretty cool, a pretty cool thing to do. But what does Jesus say? And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." This academic thought it would be all enjoyable, but point one for today, following Jesus means abandoning whatever might bring us comfort. Following Jesus means to abandon those things that bring comfort. The one that we have chosen to follow says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." The one that we follow didn't have a home. Actually, he did have a home. I stand corrected. He had a home and he left it. His home was with the Father in eternity, in heaven. And he left his home to become a vagabond, to become a homeless person for our sakes. You should think about the Lord that we follow and his example for each of us. Where was he born? In a manger. Did he have a home? Right after that, we're told that he had to flee to Egypt. Never had a home. Throughout his whole earthly ministry, he never stayed in a 5-star resort, guys. Our Lord and Savior slept on the road to Jerusalem. Luke 9:52-53. If you just move your eyeballs up a little bit, the account before. "And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him, but the people did not receive him." Right before this account, this passage, we have an account where he was trying to find a place to stay, but instead ended up sleeping on the road. Jesus never had a mortgage. Did you guys know that? I'd venture to say most of us have a mortgage, correct? Jesus saying, "I have nowhere to lay my head." Here's the problem. This scribe, this academic who runs up to Jesus and says, "Hey, I'm going to follow you wherever you go." He didn't count the cost. It was very appealing emotionally. It was a novelty per se, but he didn't count the cost. He didn't weigh it logically in his head. He didn't really have all the information. He didn't quite allow the logic to overcome the emotions of just raising a hand real quickly, saying, "I want the t-shirt." Ultimately, he didn't use what we refer to as the will to make a determined choice, a determined commitment to the Lord and Savior. Guys, to follow means to leave behind worldly possessions. That's the example that we were given. The question for each of us is, what do we value? Do we value the Lord and following Him, or do we value the stuff in that house of ours? So here's the point. We should live below our means for the sake of the gospel. Each of us should live below our means for the sake of others who have never heard the gospel. I know we live in America, and I know we have houses. And I'll go even further than that. Some of us are struggling with those finances even. But I believe we are called to be in a place where we have money in our hands to further the kingdom. It's not about the house. It's not about the cars. It's not about the things in this life. It's about, are we using the resources God has given us to further His kingdom? You know, are we funneling into the church the thing that He established for His missional purpose? Are we funneling these potential monies that we have been given by Him into parachurch organizations that are doing the same, getting the gospel out there? Are we funneling our money that He's given us to people in need? The Son of Man has no place to lay His head. Money wasn't an issue. For us, it is. Following Jesus means abandoning those things that bring us comfort. Are we mostly satisfied with Him or with the things in our house? And this is a hard decision for each of us, but these are what are considered the hard teachings of Jesus, you know. People don't want to hear these things, or people will write them off as hyperbole. You know, they're just extreme sayings that, you know, we need to find a kernel in. I don't think we're not supposed to have a house. I think Peter had a house, right? But what are we doing with our monies? And how are we using those resources to further the kingdom? Verse 59, to another he said, follow me. But this guy said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. There's a little difference here because the second person was chosen. The first guy said, hey, I want to follow you. The second guy, Jesus, looks him in the eye and says, you follow me. But notice the next word, but. who's talking here? It's Jesus. Later on, we're going to see the word kingdom twice. Jesus is the what? I just gave you the hint. Jesus is the... No, I talked about kingdom twice. Jesus is the king. The king is standing before this guy. He says, you follow me. The guy says, but. I don't know about you, but you never say but to the king. You never say but to the king. Secondly, he recognizes him as Lord. Lord, let me first go and bury my father. The Lord is could mean two different things. In its context in that day, it could mean master, owner. If you're a slave, he's your Lord. In the biblical context, it could mean Yahweh, God. I'm not sure if that's what this guy is thinking. But he recognizes him as a superior, and he says, but. There's a problem here. The king is the first priority, but this guy doesn't get it. Jesus' response, and Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. It's a command. Leave the dead. It's expected to do it. Leave the dead to bury their own dead. Your dad's dead. You need to bury him. Hard saying to Jesus? No. You need to follow me. The word leave can be translated let go, give up, divorce, or abandon. Following Jesus means abandoning those things that the world values, those systems, those ideals that the world values. The world says, you need to do this, you need to be this. Jesus says, follow me. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. The beginning of that verse says, you once were what? Dead. Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. Okay, these are two words, dead. They're the same word in the Greek, but one's being used figuratively, one's being used literally. Those people who do not know me, who are spiritually dead, let them do what they want to do. But you are called to follow me. Once again, abandoning everything that the world sees as valuable. The systems, the theories, the philosophies, the methods that the world says you must do, that you must follow, in complete contrast to the one who says, follow me. Warren Wiersbe, an old pastor, had this cute little saying. He was worried about somebody else's funeral when he should have been planning his own. This guy was worried about his dad's funeral, but the real issue was whether or not he was going to die to self and follow the one who was shortly going to die for him. Now, as we continue there in verse 60, it says, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. I'm going to table that. I'm going to come back to it at the end. Okay? But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. We're going to come back to that. Moving on to 61, this is the third person. Yet another said, a third person says, goes up to Jesus. He initiates. He says, I will follow you just like the first guy did. I will follow you, Lord. He gets that right again. But notice the next word, but. He puts a condition on it. I will follow you, God, but, Jesus, I'll follow you, but, I'll give you 99% of my life, but I want 1% for me. Jesus, I'll follow you, maybe 70% will satisfy you, but I'm going to keep 30% for me. He puts a condition on it, and immediately we see a negative context here. But let me first say farewell to those at my home. What's the problem? He sets a condition to his obedience. Guys, there are no conditions to obeying the king. You cannot stand before the king and say, I'll do it, but he's the king. So Jesus' response in 62, Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Going to go, nerdy glasses on here. The verbs here, who puts and looks, are in the present ongoing sense. Whoever is always plowing the field and always looking back, That's the imagery. If you're always plowing, you're supposed to be plowing. That's what you're supposed to be doing. You guys know what it means to plow? We're not farmers, so let me explain. They would do these things called furrows. You get an ox, and you get a plow, and you'd hold the thing, and the ox would pull that heavy plow. But the object was to make straight furrows for canals, agricultural things. And the water would run down, but you want them parallel, you want them tight, and you want them straight. In order to achieve a straight line, where do your eyes need to be? You ever drive or see those people that are driving, they're just looking right in front of themselves and they're constantly going like this. You're traveling long distance. Their eyes are not on the horizon. This guy's eyes are not forward. They're not towards the king and his kingdom purposes. Instead, they're looking back and they're making crooked furrows. So Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This word fit can be translated suitable or usable. No one is usable for the kingdom of God if you're just looking back all the time. Luke 14, 34 through 35. Salt is good. This is Jesus speaking. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use. It is not fit, there's that word, either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus, using the same verb in a different context, is basically saying, if you're not looking forward and you're looking back, you're fit for the manure pile. That's all you're good for. The hard sayings of Jesus. Now, what's interesting, in 1 Kings 19, if you know your Old Testament, we believe the Old Testament is important. But in 1 Kings 19, we have a story about Elijah and Elisha. Elijah's the big prophet in town. Remember, he calls down fire against the Baals. Mocks the Baal, saying, hey, are you on the potty? You can't do what we just did. All right. After his big duel out and all that. He's on his way out, and he has this guy, Elisha, who becomes his protege. God says, I want you to anoint Elisha. And so Elijah goes to Elisha, and he says, follow me. Elisha says, hey, let me go say goodbye to my parents. And Elijah says, okay, hurry up and then catch up with me. Well, how come it's okay in the Old Testament to run off and say goodbye to your parents, but Jesus is saying here, no, it's not okay. I come before your parents. What's the issue? Jesus is saying, hey, you guys, I'm bigger than Elijah. I'm bigger. I'm bigger than the law. I'm bigger than the whole Old Testament. Follow me. So the third thing today, following Jesus means abandoning what brings us comfort. It means abandoning those things of the world that the world holds valuable. And number four, or number three, I can't count, I'm an English major, what we left behind. Abandoning all those things that we've left behind. We said yes to the Lord and Savior. We said, I'm going to follow you. But the tendency is to still hold on to those things of our past. God, just give me a minute. Let me go back and say goodbye one more time. Jesus stands before each of us today and he says, follow me. And he wants 100%. He doesn't want 3 years from now you looking back. He's asking you today, will you go all in? 100%. Philippians 3:13. Brothers, Paul speaking, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. All of us have these things in our past that according to the world standards can be very attractive. God's called us to keep our eyes forward. My wife asked me earlier this week, it's really weird, we've been married for over 12 years, but she asked me, so, you know, have you ever thought about what it would have been like to marry so-and-so? You know, all your old flames? That's a loaded question, right? Have you ever thought about what it would be like to have married? I had some ladies in my life. And I looked her in the eye, and I'm not joking, I'm not lying, I'm not totally truthful, I said no. I never have. Like, I've never wanted it. I've never wished for it. Never longed for it. No. There's been moments where I thought about how crazy and stupid that would have been. But I'm not looking back and longing for something I gave up a long time ago. Before I proposed to Christy, I weighed. I counted the costs. I looked at all those other girls in my past life, and I checked them off and said, no, 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 no. Don't want that. Don't want that. Don't want that. And I went all in, and I proposed to her, and I don't spend any moment of my life looking back, saying, what if? The Lord is calling each of us to put it all in, to make a willful decision, not an emotional one. You guys been to the youth rallies where you're all charged up with the music and the big band and the lights and everything? Not an emotional one, and not even a nerdy logical one, because it's more than that. It's weighing the balance of the logic and the emotions, and it's committing with our will. All of this, those three things, if we look at those once more, guys with a slide, the call of Jesus is consistently to follow me. He gives three specific areas that we are to abandon. And it's all for a single purpose. And that single purpose is that all is abandoned for what purpose? For the proclamation of the kingdom. We are to abandon everything for the king and his kingdom. So if you would, look at the end of verse 62 there, and then we're going to jump to 60. They are not fit for the what? The kingdom of God. These people who look back, who value the things of the world more importantly, these people that value materials more importantly than the Lord himself, they are not fit for the kingdom of God. And now as we jump back to verse 60, the second part, but as for you, Jesus talking to this guy, but as for you, go and do what? Preach the kingdom. We are to abandon all for a purpose, and that is to go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Doing lots of word study. I apologize for you guys who don't like words, but the word go is also that continuous verb. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Lord commands us what? Go and do what? Go and make disciples. We've talked about this before. In that particular verse, the word go is not actually an imperative. It's not actually a command. It's a participle. It should be going. As you are going, make disciples. Very similar wording here. As you are going through life, not making possessions valuable, not making the things of this world valuable, not looking back on your old fleshly nature, as you are going, proclaim the kingdom of God. Joel talked about the kingdom a couple weeks ago. The kingdom is best represented in the king. What the heck is the kingdom of God? It begins with the king, who is Jesus. And that is his people, that is his movement, that is his boundary, that is his kingdom, of which we are his loyal, faithful subjects. Go as you are going, proclaim the kingdom of God. A straight line without looking back, not being weighted down by debts and other valuables, not being influenced by the values of this world. Go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, the king is the emphasis point on the kingdom, and to me that speaks of the gospel. Jesus, the king, came for what purpose? That we might have forgiveness, that we might have peace with God, that we might have a relationship again with our Creator because of what he did as he was going on that road to the cross. The call today is that if you have never made Jesus the king, if you have not been about the king's business, we gather today to hear from God and to respond. We have an opportunity for the rest of the service to listen to God on these points, to evaluate, to examine our lives and say, you know, how has the things of this world influenced me too much? What do I need to cut out? You know, am I living more for the, the accumulation of goods and things? Have I been like dreaming too much, fantasies about what could be or what could have been, instead of being serious about the king and his business? If you confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what happens? You will be saved. Let me read it again. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is what? The Lord. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Maybe you've never made Jesus your king. Maybe you just did an emotional response when you were 16. Maybe something happened a year ago and you raised your hand. You didn't know what the heck you were doing. Today, I want you to see the call. Jesus came before people and he said, hey, come to me and you're going to get saved. He never said that. He just said, follow me. Are you willing to serve the king, follow the king? Or have you just kind of been in it for getting your lunch ticket punched and your free ride to heaven? Which one? And if the king is calling you into his presence today, I want to encourage you to kneel and to get right with him and to give him your life because he gave all of his for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your truth. Lord, we thank you that in all honesty, you have not asked anything of us which you haven't done yourself. So Lord, help us to see that you have done these things, and if we have told the world that we're about following you, that through your work in our lives, we can give these things up as well and be about your business. I pray that you would be with the members of this church, that we would be about forsaking everything for your sake. Lord, that you would be glorified with our lives. Lord, that your name would be lifted up. and that more people might come into the kingdom. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.